the epistle for this Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but above all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift that each has received, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as with words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me, and you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I am sorry that we were not able to have Mass on the Feast of the Ascension, but the weather, as you know, was a problem for us. And so I will save maybe what I had wanted to say to you for next year. This Sunday is meant to prepare us for the Feast of Pentecost. You see, this time between the Feast of the Ascension and Pentecost is a season all its own. It's called Ascension Tide. And all of the masses, all of the readings of the Scripture during these days, you see, the ferial masses, that is, are directed to prepare us for this feast and make us in some way enter into the mind of the apostles, much more so than anybody else. But in addition to today being the Sunday after the Feast of the Ascension, this day also is the feast day of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is the reason why we have the vestments today in honor of the Mother of God. And while the feast is not celebrated because this Sunday takes precedence in our calendar, we nonetheless commemorate this feast at Mass. We pray in honor of the Blessed Virgin as well. And because this month of May, the month of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is coming to a close, I feel impelled to speak to you this morning about nothing else except the Blessed Virgin Mary and her title as Queen. In fact, this entire month, even though I did not mention it to you for the bulk of this entire month, as I presume most of you know, this month is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary under the title of Queen. We have appended the words Queen of the Rosary. But you know that October is the month of the Rosary. This month is dedicated to Mary under the title of Regina, Queen. That is the reason why we have wanted at least to place a crown on the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary as a symbol of her queenship. Now, what I want to speak to you about this morning is not so much words of exhortation as much as, I could say, words of instruction. And the reason is this. All of you think of the Blessed Virgin Mary in terms of mother, mother of God, mother of men, protectress of the faith. But very few, I think, understand the doctrinal significance of this title, which a feast has been given to lend weight to it, this title of Queen. Why is the Blessed Virgin Mary called Queen? What does this mean? I would suggest, if I were to ask any of you, what do you think the word Queen means in terms of the Blessed Virgin? I wonder what you would say. I wonder what you think. You should know. Those of you who have, and each of you should and certainly must have a devotion to the Blessed Virgin, you should know something about this beautiful doctrine, since a whole month is dedicated to it, as it were. Every day in this month we are meant to think of the Blessed Virgin in terms of this title of Queen. In fact, after each Mass, don't we say, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. And during the bulk of the year, the priest, before he goes to bed, says, as the anthem in honor of the Blessed Virgin, that same prayer, Salve Regina, Mater Misericordiae, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Most of the year is spent in hailing the Mother of God as Queen. Why? Why? I want to tell you why. The queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary is nothing but an extension of the kingship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is our Lord king? He is king for several reasons, and I'm going to tell them to you, and I want you to remember them. Because when you pray to our Lord as your Redeemer, and in a manner of speaking, as your brother, as your elder brother, this is what our Lord considers himself, our friend, too. You must also remember that our Lord is king. Why is he king? First of all, because of what we call his divine personality. He is king by inheritance, because his person is divine. His identity is that of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Who is Jesus? He is God the Son. Therefore, by virtue of the fact that he is God, therefore master of the universe, creator of this world. We know that. We call the Blessed Virgin in the Litany of the Rheto, Mother of our Creator. Jesus is our Creator. Because of that, he is therefore master. He is king. Also, he is king for a second reason. He is king because he is also man, who has been crucified. He is king because he is the conqueror of sin and death and Satan. He is therefore the conqueror by the fact that he died on the cross of the entire human race. He won back the human race. We are members of the body of Christ, and as a result, we belong to our Lord and Savior. He then is our ruler because he is our Redeemer. He is the one from whom comes all good. He is the head of the human race because he has constituted it back in friendship with God by virtue of the merits that he won on Calvary. So therefore, Jesus is king because he is conqueror on the cross. That's the second reason why he is king. And he is king not only in the church, but king also in the world. He rules absolutely, completely. Not only spiritually, but even by implication of the spiritual life, he rules in a manner of speaking in the temporal order too. All nations are meant to obey our Lord and Savior in every word that he said. All governments, all peoples, all societies. By virtue of the fact that he is God, and secondly, by virtue of the fact that he is the man who died on the cross for us, representing the entire human race. The firstborn of all creatures, St. Paul says. And then, our Lord is king for a third reason. It is because through his human body, all grace, all mercy, all divine assistance, actual grace, flows to humanity. He is therefore the ruler because all good comes from him. And by the way, this is the way we look at a human king. All the goods, as it were, of our society, in a manner of speaking, through a human king, come through him to the rest of the world, to the rest of his nation, as it were. So our Lord is king for these three reasons. Now, the Blessed Virgin Mary is queen and therefore ruler because she is intimately involved in these three things. And I'm going to tell you how. And you must remember, because Mary is the mother of God, she is therefore, we say, elevated on the level of what we call the hypostatic order. What does that mean? It means that she becomes mother of God because she gave birth to God. She lives on the level of Jesus becoming man. She provided God the Son with a human body and a human soul. And all of his human attributes, Mary gave, as it were, if not directly by instrumentality, she gave to God the Son. She is on the level, therefore, of God made man. Therefore, by a certain manner of an extension of our Lord's inheritance by virtue of the fact that he is God, therefore he is king, so by such close association with that great vocation, Mary is queen. She rules almost the way God rules because she is so identified with God in this world. And secondly, and this perhaps is the most beautiful way that Mary is queen, when our Lord died on the cross, he willed to so unite the Blessed Virgin Mary with every one, you see, of his pains, each detail of his anguish, every part of his act of satisfaction on the cross, so that we say that the Blessed Virgin Mary redeemed us also in a subordinate and congruent, as we say, manner. The Blessed Virgin Mary is so associated with our Lord's passion and death that we say that there was one altar and two hearts sacrificed on it, the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. And so, therefore, the Mother of God, being associated with our Lord in his act of redemption, in his act of death, is also associated with our Lord in his act of conquest, in his act of victory. And that is the reason why the Blessed Virgin Mary rose up from the dead and was assumed into heaven, body and soul. Her rising from the dead is an extension of our Lord's own resurrection. She is associated in his victory. And so, therefore, as our Lord is king because of his conquest on the cross, so is Mary queen because of her conquest over sin and the devil and death by her association with our Lord in his passion. Mary is co-redemptrix, and therefore she shares in our Lord's kingship. She is therefore queen. And finally, Mary is queen for that third reason. Remember, I told you that our Lord is king because he is the means by which each one of us receives grace. He has the fullness of grace inside of him, even in his body. And Mary, the firstborn in a manner of speaking, by being the first adopted child of God, she who has received the fullness of grace through the redemption of our Lord. No man can come close to the holiness of the Blessed Virgin. Every good that comes from the body of Christ passes through the body of Mary. And therefore, she is our queen, because every good that we receive comes through her hands. And so, as a result of all of these things, the Blessed Virgin Mary has the right to rule, to command us, to govern us, to take care of us, to direct us, to guide us. And that's precisely what the Blessed Virgin Mary does. And so, after every Mass, just like after the divine office that the priest recites, he addresses his last prayer to Mary, our Queen and our Mother, so does each soul who assists at Mass say, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. There's only one difference, I think, between the kingship of Christ and the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary, after we consider the fact that she is subordinate to our Lord. It is this. Jesus, by virtue of his divine personality and by virtue of his passion and death and his resurrection, his humanity has been blessed and rewarded by Almighty God. So our Lord said before he ascended into heaven, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me. Our Lord is the judge of the living and the dead. When we die, each one of us, all alone, must appear before our Lord and Savior. He will pass judgment. The difference is that with Mary, she is not called Mother of Justice, is she? Nor is she called Queen of Justice. Justice has been reserved to God the Son, the one hallmark of Our Lady's queenship. Is that she is called Queen Mother Mercy. Justice she reserves to her Son. Mercy she keeps to herself. That is why she is a good queen. I think that the best way of considering the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary is to look at what we could call the Litany of Loreto, the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is one of my favorite litanies, one that I recite privately after every rosary that I say that I do not say in common. I always add the Litany of the Mother of God. There are few prayers, I think, that can touch the soul more beautifully, more effectively, concerning the prerogatives of the Blessed Virgin Mary than all of the titles that are given to her in this Litany of the Blessed Virgin. And after all of this stream of aspirations and titles that are given to her in this litany, we conclude, just as we conclude the Mass and the office, we conclude addressing her with the title Queen, Queen of Angels, Queen of Patriarchs, Queen of Prophets, Queen of Apostles, Queen of Martyrs, Queen of Confessors, Queen of Virgins, Queen of All Saints. If you could just look at a few of these titles, you'll begin to see something of the beauty, of the extent of the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She goes out to all reality. She is Queen of Heaven, Queen of Earth. So she is Queen of Angels. How do you suppose that she extends her governing power over the world, but through the angels that are at her command, at her disposal? She protects each one of us through the direction that she gives to each of our guardian angels. Often, the angels, you see, who cannot even come close to the holiness of the Blessed Virgin, often she extends even material protection to each one of us through the angels. Did you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary merited grace not only for us, but the Mother of God, even while she was on the foot of the cross, she merited grace even for the angels. And do you know how? She merited for them the grace that was necessary that the angels needed in order to help us. That's the kind of grace the Mother of God merited. And the cherubim, among the highest of the angels, that rank of angel who is considered to have been given the fullness of knowledge of the being of God, the cherubim, their knowledge is as nothing compared to the penetration into the divine essence that Mary has as queen. And the seraphim, who are literally on fire with love, marvel, are in awe at the great and ardent charity and love and affection that the Mother of God has for her Son for her father, for her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and for us. The seraphim themselves cannot come close in love for any of us compared to the love that Mary has for each of us in particular. And we say that Mary is queen of patriarchs. The heroism of the greatest of the patriarchs, Abraham, in his willingness to sacrifice Isaac, his son, is as nothing compared to the heroism of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who sacrificed God the Son, who was willing to offer up her own son by the flesh, as well as by grace, for the redemption of each one of us. Who can compare the heroism of the greatest of the patriarchs compared to that? We say that Mary is queen of martyrs. She rules even the prophets. She rules even the prophets. She herself was a prophetess. She prophesied in the Magnificat, "All generations shall call me blessed." The Mother of God was able to look into the future. She was able to see the condition of the church even as it is today and prayed for it. And we call her not only queen of prophets, but queen of martyrs. Who is there that gives strength to the martyrs but the one who has, in a manner of speaking, culminated all of their sufferings inside her own heart than Mary, the Mother of God? Who is there that can compassionate the greatest of the persecutions than Mary, Queen of Martyrs? Who is there that gives direction, that gives counsel, that gives assistance, just as a queen does, that gives orders, directing the martyrs how they are to suffer, what they must do, as it were, to persevere in their martyrdom, than the Queen of Martyrs, who understands the strength and the value and the beauty of martyrdom as it is an extension of our Lord's own passion, except the Queen, the directress of all martyrs? You know, that Hail Holy Queen is followed by another aspiration, as you heard me say. We say, "Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy." A mother has a right to rule her children, to direct them, to train them. And it is in that context that we speak of the Blessed Virgin Mary as mother and mother of mercy. And you know, in that litany of Loreto, there are another group of aspirations that, in my opinion, are among the most beautiful. We speak of the Blessed Virgin Mary as comforter of the afflicted, as help of Christians. We speak of the Blessed Virgin Mary also as refuge of sinners. And so it is with this that we must look, you see, at the Blessed Virgin as queen. In fact, there is a gradation in the litany of Loreto. And so if you think of it, you can see how it follows. Health of the sick, refuge of sinners, comforter of the afflicted, help of Christians. All of these things are in a certain rank. And if you look at the Mother of God under her title as queen, you can see how they flow. Health of the sick. How often does the Blessed Virgin Mary come to earth, and through the many graces that she bestows, she gives health to those in body as well as soul. The apparitions of Lourdes and Fatima, to this very day, are a source of healing to untold amount of souls. How many are given their singular graces at the Shrine of Lourdes? I knew a priest, one of my teachers, Father Charles Breslin, a very great English teacher in high school. And I remember he was only 33 years old, and he was afflicted with cancer of the spine. And in the course of his sufferings, he had recourse to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I remember, I was just in high school at the time, Father Breslin, under the advice of some of his fellow priests, was advised to go to Lourdes and ask the Blessed Virgin for a cure. And so he went. And even though he was not cured, he received his greatest pain at Lourdes. And he knew by the depth of his interior life, he knew that the Blessed Virgin Mary was telling him that he was not meant for this world, that he wouldn't be called to leave it soon. But the anxiety of his heart, that sickness, that was the one that was cured in Lourdes. And so he came back to Brooklyn, and I remember that he taught even while he was in pain up until Christmas holidays. And then Christmas came, and he celebrated Christmas Mass, and then right during the vacation, he died. And of course, we were all in marvel of the man's great heroism, this great priest. But you see, his death was a very beautiful one because, you see, it was assisted at Lourdes by the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen, under the title Health of the Sick. That which was his greatest sickness was healed at Lourdes. And this goes on and the story of the Blessed Virgin Mary as Health of the Sick. You know that great story of Alphonse Ratisbon, the great Jew and enemy of Christ, who walked into the church of St. Andrew in Rome out of curiosity. And there the Blessed Virgin appeared to him, as you know the story, under her insignia of the miraculous medal. And as this Jew looked at the Blessed Virgin Mary from the sanctuary, she gently directed him to kneel. And it says that he lost all his senses, but only he kept his eyes on the Blessed Virgin. When he came to, he felt an unconquerable desire for baptism. And after his instructions, he received baptism, and he, along with his brother, founded a community of priests called the Fathers of Sion, who are dedicated to the conversion of the Jews. And each day at Mass, they recite the words of our Lord on the cross for the Jews, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," all because of the Blessed Virgin Mary as Health of the Sick. And then we look at her as Refuge of Sinners. Who is there that cannot feel free to run to the Blessed Virgin Mary, even with the greatest of pains of conscience? The Mother of God bestows and gives direction to those, even the greatest of sinners, by her personal attention to confess their sins and to die contritely. And there is a famous story they tell of the Blessed Virgin, how she worked through a dying mother, and through her lips she instructed all of her sinful sons to say at least one Hail Mary every day. And each of these boys did that, and every one of them died in the state of grace because of the Blessed Virgin Mary in her direction of their lives under the title of Refuge of Sinners. And what more beautiful title can we think of about our Queen as Comforter of the Afflicted? The Mother of God exercised her consolation even to our Lord crucified. She was his greatest consolation on the cross. And even after he died, it was the Mother of God who consoled the apostles because they were afraid of the mission they were given to go and preach to their enemies. And it was Mary who consoled them and directed them and governed them and advised them. It was the Mother of God, you see, who consoled the early church. Saint Stephen himself, after he was stoned, it is believed, died in the arms of the Blessed Virgin, directing him to heaven. It was the Mother of God who, in each one of our lives, directs each of you to go to confession and confess those sins that are the most troublesome in your conscience. It is Mary who exercises a unique and personal activity in each one of your lives. And she, above all else, is most conscious of our poverty, of the inability of each one of us to do those things that are pleasing to God on our own. And it is she who gives us, as it were, that consolation and encouragement. Each one, you see, of these aspirations lead us to a higher role, a higher vocation in this great title of Mary as Queen, how she directs us and governs us. One of the most beautiful titles that I like is Queen of Confessors, Queen of Priests. But that does not extend only to priests. It extends to each of you. When I was in the seminary, I remember years before I approached the priesthood, once I found a holy card. And on that holy card, there was a beautiful prayer addressed to Mary, Queen and Mother of Mercy. And in the times of my own personal doubts and trials in my road to the priesthood was a long one. It was a road that took many winding paths. And in the course of all of that, I kept that little holy card, little holy prayer in the back. And every day before I used to go to bed, I would recite that prayer. I still recite it often. It's a prayer addressed to Mary, Mother of Mercy. I think it culminates everything that I'm trying to express to you about Mary's constant vigilance and direction in every detail of our lives. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Hail, hope of the needy, mother of those who no longer possess a mother. Mary, when my broken heart moans and is filled with sorrow, when my soul is enveloped in sadness and fear, when the wind of temptation blows, when stormy passions break loose in my soul, when my sins have closed the gates of heaven against me and robbed me of the presence of my God, in this hour of tribulation and anguish, to whom should I have recourse but to thee? Blessed Mary, consoler of the afflicted and refuge of sinners. Come, Mary, come with thy constant sweetness. Come to visit me in my sorrow. Come to raise my courage, to bring me the grace of Jesus. That tells me everything about Our Lady as Queen.